The flu season isn't in full swing yet in the United States, but a new strain of the virus that has caused severe outbreaks abroad is causing concern about the winter ahead. Dr. Eileen Marty is an infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University, and she responds to disease outbreaks around the world. Dr. Marty, good morning. What do we know about this new version of the flu?
Okay, so first of all, flu viruses are fascinating. I mean, they're just fantastic in their ability to survive and change, right? And to adapt very quickly. So they have what we call H for the hemagglutinin, which binds to our cells. And we have the neuraminidase, which helps the easiest way to think about it is helps the virus get out and spread, the new viral progeny get out of a cell and spread all over the place, right? So we're talking about a subclade of a particular type of influenza A virus. So among influenza viruses, there's A, B, C, and D. D is mostly for cows, so don't worry about D. C just causes a common cold. But A and B can be killers. A and B can be very bad. So every year when there's a new flu vaccine, it's based on whatever changes are going on among the A's and the B's. Among the A's, we've talked a lot about bird flu, and by that we usually are talking about H5. So among the hemagglutins, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way to 18, and the neuraminidase is 1 to 9. The one that's going around now is an H3N2, and you, if you look things up, you'll see we've had H3N2 forever, but just like Omicron has lots of different subclads, right? There's a subclad of the H3N2 called the K subclad, which is actually has another name, which is J241, J.2.4.1. And when we made the vaccine that was recommended by the Strategic Advisory Group of Experts of WHO, so SAGE group, there wasn't a lot of this K subclass going around. So the vaccine that was recommended for the northern hemisphere where we live J.2, but not this J.2.4.1. So this little devil, this K subclad, is able to overcome the immunity to a degree, and is particularly bad for people who don't get the vaccine. So getting the vaccine isn't going to be as good as we want it to be, but not getting it remains a worse idea. Mm-hmm. Now, for the Southern Hemisphere, their vaccine is going to include a type of reference vaccine that does match the K subclad. Unfortunately, it's not going to be available to us. That's the irony. And it has to do, Bob, with the fact that the predominant way in which the vaccine strains are selected every year is still predominantly using old technology of looking for antibodies. So looking at the antibodies in people and in ferrets and all that sort of thing, and then we decide what's circulating. Had there been a bigger emphasis on genomic surveillance, we would have known even back in February to choose the K subclad.
So if you got the flu shot around here, how effective is it against this new flu variant?
So remember, that's not the only thing circulating, right? And the flu vaccine that's available in the north has three different protections against three different influenza viruses, right? An H1N1 variant, the H3N2, and one of the B. Remember, I said influenza B can be pretty bad too, right? So against those other two, it's going to be great. Against the K subclad of H3N2, it's probably down to maybe 30 to 40% protection. Mm-hmm. We had hoped for more like 70 or 90% protection, right? But it's absolutely what we're seeing around the world right now. Canada has a lot of cases. We've seen cases in the US. UK is just nuts with it right now. And it's bad flu. It's the typical characteristics with the high fever. By the way, the fevers are particularly high with this K subclad.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, RSV cases in the United States are now increasing. And again, RSV, it affects babies, doesn't it?
Well, babies are at the highest risk, but so are people our age, Bob. So it's one of those viruses at the extremes of age. It's one of those viruses that we really want our pregnant mothers to be protected against RSV, because it's going to you want her to share IgG antibodies with her baby through the placenta, so that when that baby is born with no protection, it has the mother's protection. And we now have good RSV vaccines, but like everything else, a vaccine on the shelf doesn't work. You got to take it for it to work, right? Mm-hmm. And right now in the U.S., the main problem we're seeing is among kids under 4. And it's important to know that even though, yes, there are particular vulnerabilities that, you know, a premature child or child with chronic conditions, the majority of the hospitalizations that we're seeing from RSV are in totally otherwise normal infants that were term infants, not premature, that got the RSV. RSV is a really nasty virus. We've got vaccines, but the only thing we can do is give them a monoclonal antibody that targets RSV. It's called nivolumab. Anything that's a monoclonal antibody is going to end with the MAB ending, right? That lets you know it's an antibody if you're looking at a generic name. And that's an antibody that can protect these children because they're too young for the type of immune response that we need them to get from a vaccine, unless they got it from mommy, right? So if mommy's vaccinated, then they have immunity, or we have to give them a monoclonal antibody, or they are at risk for hospitalization.
One more thing. I know you run the health travel medicine program at FIU, and I was reading about Team USA and the doctor for the athletes. When they're traveling, he urges the athletes to choose window seats in the middle of airplanes, away from the most trafficked areas, the front where everyone gathers, and the rear near the galley and the washrooms. Is that your advice as well?
Well, sure. I mean, the middle of the plane is going to have obviously the front of the plane is going to have everybody trafficking through it in most airplanes, not all, right? And it does depend on the, what size airplane you're in, right? Because some airplanes will board the economy seats in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. So you do have to pay attention to the actual seating. But the idea of the window is you're further away from traffic, so less likely to encounter. It is still true that masks reduce respiratory infections. We saw huge numbers of all kinds of respiratory viruses when we were protecting ourselves from COVID. So if you want to have a good vacation and you want to just sort of reduce your risk, at least when other people are coming in and out of the plane, it might not be a bad idea to put your mask on for that period of time. It's not perfect, but it's a little bit of a reduction in risk. And obviously, if people are sneezing and coughing around you, you might want to put on a mask to protect yourself. And if you're a very, very nice person who happens to have a cold or a flu, you'll wear a mask so you don't infect the the people around you, and you know you're sick.
Yeah, well, when you start talking about those variants, H2, H3, I put on a mask when I'm just talking to you. It's Dr. Eileen Marty at Florida International University. Thank you, Dr. Marty. Talk to you again next week.
You're welcome.
She is the professor.